Anyway, we're in 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy, so take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. We've come down through the first 14 verses of Scripture in the last few studies. Now, tonight, let me say this. This being Veterans Day, is Brother Fleek in? Will he be in today, Pastor? Is Brother Fleek coming today? Is that today? Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry? He's on his way. Thank you very much. I seen the sign out there, and I thought, well, I hadn't seen anybody yet, but he'll be preaching this morning's message for Veterans Day. I'm happy to be a veteran myself, a four-year Army guy, two active, two inactive, and I got to go to the DMZ in Korea. That's right up by the North Koreans. The DMZ's still there. And it's a cold place to be in the winter is all I can say. And I'm glad to have deployed there and made it back fine. And that's been years and years ago. But I'm happy to be a veteran, and I'm happy for every veteran that's here and every veteran that will be here, especially Brother Fleet coming in to preach after a while, he being a veteran himself of many years. So that's just wonderful stuff. If you found your place there, verse 16, notice if you would, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy that it, I'm in verse 16, look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we'll probably get to deal with verse 16 also, but verse 15, it's the Apostle Paul. Remember, the admonition was for Timothy to stay in Ephesus where he had put him to preach and teach the word of God, and we last week talked about a number of those things, but Paul is simply summarizing his personal experience of the gospel. And that's called basically a testimony, if you please. And anyone that's been saved or claims to be saved ought to have some kind of a testimony of their salvation experience. Because some people in Christianity, and when I use that term, I'm using it loosely like the world uses it, think just because they're in America, they are a Christian. That's not true. Just because you're in America means you're free and you're an American. Doesn't have anything to do with you being saved. Now, so Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I'm a real strong man, Nick, but I ain't strong enough to lift this up there today. And if you would grab one side and I'd grab the other side, I'm going to draw you a picture today. Thank you, sir, very much. Perfect. And you ought to have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about there in verse 15. And you say, well, okay, I'm a Christian. I got saved. I remember a time that I got under deep conviction, and I knew I was a sinner, and I was headed for hell. And then you say, hold up, preacher. I never had that experience. Well, then you might not be saved. Because everyone that comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul, here he's no exception, has to have a new birth, if you please, experience. You have to have been born again. All right. Now, here you are. Now, this being Veterans Day and all, that's called a silhouette. And you knew that. But for all practical purposes, that's you, me, anybody else. And if you get saved, there ought to have been a time in your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember I was lost. I remember that I came to the knowledge of, the Bible says, good and evil, which means you were able to understand there was something wrong with you. You didn't know what, but something was wrong with you, and you were going to die Because everybody dies, one of the proofs of what I'm saying is the wages of sin is death. Everybody dies. Everybody's a sinner.
That's right.
Whoa. So when you get born into this world, you get a body. That's what that is. I don't know how far back you can see. There's your body. When you get born, you say, well, I got more than that when I got saved. Yeah, you did. You got a body. You got a soul. Let's get that soul in there. And you got a spirit. Now that spirit, when you're born, can you see those three parts? I want you to see those three parts, and I know you're pretty far back in the back. I don't know what you're able to see back there, probably not much. Okay, when you get saved, you're a little guy. You're just a little trooper, but you are a happy camper, all right? Yeah, I got to put some ears, and that's good, Steve. I put them ears on there for a reason. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somewhere, when you got born, you was a happy camper, you know you got born with some ears because you got a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is that visible thing that you can see, and then two invisible things you can't see, but you know you have because you're a trichotomy. Well, that's a big fancy word. Well, Nick already made me a president, so I'm throwing them big words around, you know. Body, soul, and spirit. You can't see the soul and you can't see the spirit. And the spirit that you have when you're born is a man spirit. You got that? It's not a dog spirit. It's not a horse spirit. It's not an ape spirit. It's not a tadpole spirit. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in the trichotomy of man because of the trichotomy of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if we stick with that, no psychiatrist believes that. They believe in the dichotomy of man. They believe the soul and the spirit are one. But the Bible clearly teaches that there's a division there. You have a soul and a spirit. That soul and that spirit have to go someplace when you die. I'm talking about your testimony now that you're saved. Say, well, what happened to me? If somebody gets saved and they don't get in the Word of God, don't get around the teaching of the Word of God, don't read their Bible, they'll never know what happened to them when they got saved. Because here's my point. A child can come to the age of the knowledge of good and evil. They can know that they're a sinner because if somebody witnessed to them, if they heard some preaching, some people can't read. Generally, it comes by word of mouth. That's why I put the ears on them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you remember the first time you heard that you were a sinner? Do you remember the first time you heard the gospel? Or something triggered in your mind. Is he talking about me? You may not have read it because you might not have been able to read yet. I think I was 12, 13 years old before I could read. No, I probably learned how a little before that. I was a slow learner though. But I heard I was a sinner. I heard I was going to hell. I heard there was a heaven and I wanted to go. I heard that because the cemetery behind the church was full of gravestones, people die every day. And I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything. But I knew this. I was probably going to die because I didn't know anybody that was still alive. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That verse comes to my mind out of the book of Hebrews. So I heard, and this morning there should have been a time that you heard the word. Because it's the word of God the engrafted Word of God that's able to save you. It's a supernatural book. That's why we have a King James Bible in front of this church. That's why it's at the foot of this pulpit. That's why it's on the remembrance table, because we don't want no misconceptions of what our standard is and why we know what we know. We know it because of that book right there. And by the way, for the sake of the tape and the lesson and the message and whoever gets the CD, that's a King James Bible, a 1611 King James Bible. And that thing can save your soul, because your ear is going to hear the Word of God here. And you're going to hear from the Word of God that you're so good. No. You're going to hear that you're a sinner. And you're dirty, rotten, low down, dirty, good for nothing sinner. I say, oh, Brother Phil, all that bad? Yeah, that bad. And if you're not careful... Now, I don't know if you can see that or not, but hopefully you can. Yeah. That's just a little fire down there. You're going to go to hell, amen? If you should die, and you know, and somebody has told you because your ear has heard it, you're going to hell when you die. You say, why? I'm going to explain it to you. Because when you got born, you got a body, you got a soul, and you got the spirit of man. You know what's wrong with that thing? You're just a human being. Yeah. Well, you've got some spiritual parts. You got a soul and a spirit. The body's dirt. It's dust. Dust to dust, ash to ash. It's only going to be alive for a little while. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when you cut off the blood, in other words, when you strangle it out or take the breath of life, which connects the Spirit of God and the body dies, that soul and that spirit have to go someplace. And because you're born into this world a sinner, in other words, you're born in darkness, you're born without the Holy Spirit of God. Now, so there's something else that body needs. Hold everything. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And Paul is giving his testimony. And he said he was the chiefest of sinners. Now, when he said chiefest, that meant he had, and I got all the verses, he had killed people. He had tormented people. He had thrown people to the beast in Ephesus. He had persecuted the church as an adult. But you know what? Because of all those sins that he did, that wasn't why he was going to go to hell. That wasn't the biggest problem he had. Say, what was the biggest problem he had? He was born into the world. He had a soul and a spirit, the spirit of man. But he didn't have the Spirit of God. You say, how'd that happen? I thought we were created in the image of God. Well, you were. Adam sinned, Genesis chapter 3. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they had the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God left them. He was in there. And when he was in there, he was knit to that spirit of man. And so you had a spirit, a God spirit, and a man spirit knit together in fellowship with God in the garden. But when Adam sinned, Eve sinned, the Spirit of God departed and left man in darkness, left man lost, left man with no hope, left man with a path to hell. So something's wrong with him. Say, well, what has to happen? You got to get bornagain. You got to get born again. Now you say, well, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? I'm quoting John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, "Thou, we knowest that thou art a good man, come from, a good teacher come from God." He saw him as a teacher and a good man, but he didn't see him as a savior. He was lost. You say, why? He couldn't help himself. He was born with a body, soul, and a man spirit, and no God spirit. When you don't have God, you're in darkness. When you don't have God, you're lost. Like lost in a cornfield, a woods, any place you want to put it. And if you stay on that lost road, you're going to die in that condition and you're going to hell. Now, I'll come back to that graphic in just a moment. Howbeit for this, verse 15, this is a faithful saying. It'd be worthy that you remember this verse. And worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now, say, what's going on? He's talking about his personal relationship with God. He was a sinner. He was born a sinner. And when you're born into this world a sinner, you don't have the Spirit of God, you have the propensity to do all kinds of sin. You say, why? You're in a body of flesh, prone to wander, prone to get in trouble, prone to cuss. Prone to do all kinds of things. Say, man, how do I keep from doing all that? What do I do? Well, you got to be born again. You must be born again. So you have to come to an age of accountability, or the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. And when you finally reach that point, now we got a little guy up here. Let's make him a little bigger. We'll grow him up a little. Aren't we having fun this morning?
Hey.
You probably should come to Sunday school class every Sunday.
Hey.
If you're not stuck with me, you'll get a good teacher and you'll really learn something. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not. Now, I don't know what you can see back there, but we'll give this guy a little something here. I mean, you can tell he's growing up here a little bit. He's got a little hair now, for black hair at that. No offense, Steve. Some sideburns. Some people are prone to mustaches and goatees. I like that. That'll work. So now he's old enough. I don't know what you can see, but these people sitting in the front are having a time, I'm telling you. Anyway, he's grown up a little bit. You say, where's the age of accountability? I don't know, about the time you can start remembering, about the time you hit where you don't want to run naked in the house anymore. You know, these little kids, we raised a whole house full of them, and they get, when they're one and two, they don't care who sees them. Streaking, man. Say, why? Oh, you say, they ain't got nothing to do with it. It's got everything to do with it, because they were naked when they walked in the garden and they weren't ashamed of anything. But brother, after they had sinned, they began to sew fig leaves together and put them fig leaves on themselves because they were ashamed of their nakedness. Who told thee thou was naked? That thing happened down on the inside. That soul said something. That spirit said something. And so the soul and the spirit said, cover the body up. When you got the Holy Spirit, you say, now when I get saved, can I go naked? No. Follow along. Mark chapter 5, if you're looking for the verse. Maniac of Gadara was naked. He was an adult. He was running around. I know heathen sinners, born sinners, with the propensity to do all the sin in the world, live like the devil, get full of the devil, drink, cuss, run around, live in tombs and dead places, and run around naked. That's a lost person, full of the devil. When Jesus came by, and thank God he came by, and that maniac came to himself, amen. Because when truth shows up, when that book shows up, when the light comes on, when the ears hear the word of God, all of a sudden you say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. You know something's wrong. See, are you preaching or teaching? I don't know, but I'm having the time. Amen. Say, well, what happens? Brother, and I'm saying, if you don't have a testimony and you don't remember being lost and you don't remember your ears hearing the truth, you don't remember conviction, you're probably not saved and you need to be saved. And then say, well, what do I do? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt, somebody read that for me. I don't want to read it wrong. Don't let me read that wrong. These are some precious verses, and because it's a supernatural word of God, I don't want to get a word wrong. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. Say, what is that? That's somebody with the mouth making a confession to the Lord Jesus Christ and calling on the Lord for salvation. A couple verses right down, it says, whosoever, aren't you glad it's just not for a few? It said, whosoever, aren't you glad it's just not for Americans? Said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, how do I do it? Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're born. It's not all the sin you've sinned. It's not how many cars you have stolen, how many bank accounts you've ripped off. It's not about how many times you've been drunk. It's about how you were born into this world. You were born lost without the Spirit of God, and there better be a time, if you're going to have a testimony like Paul, that you remember getting saved. So I got saved when I was just a kid. I was about 6 years old. Thank God for you. And you probably don't have a lot of memory of a lot of wicked sin, although you know you have the ability to sin any sin there is out there because you're still living in a dead body. Oh, it's alive. Oh, no, it's dead and needs to be changed. Why do you think in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first? We which remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because this old carcass can't enter into the presence of God in a holy place. You live in that thing. Now you say, well, what's going on? Well, if you die lost, even after you've heard it and you've come to that, you're going to hell. Amen? Let's change this. This is depressing. Now, you know it's there. I'm going to trust you by faith. Do you remember, Brother Phil had some flames burning this guy up. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he got saved because he heard the word of God. I'm going to move him down a little bit, all right? And we'll... Now, let me abbreviate just a little. I'll put a little hair on him for you guys. And... All right. And then a couple more. Let's say here, he trusts Christ. What's up now? That's pretty quick drawing, okay? Now he gets to go this way when he dies. The soul and the spirit go up. And just a few graphics here. Say, what's that? Clouds, can't you tell that? It's heaven. So when he dies now, Paul said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Lord ain't down here, all right? He's not down here. He's up there. Remember you taught your kids, where's Jesus? And they go, and they have no, and then you, you know, they'd be messing with you now. You say, now, where's Jesus, honey? They go. Then you look at them. You say, you know who's down there. Who's down there? And say, the devil. I say, yeah, he's down there. This guy, you say, what happened to him? How's he get to go? He gets born again. Say, what happens? When he gets born again, another spirit comes into that person called the Holy Ghost of God, which gives you and imparts to you eternal life, which seals you until the day of redemption, which gives you a testimony, because when you get saved, born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and knits himself to your spirit like one flesh, and you become one spirit. The Bible teaches us that when a man is joined unto an harlot, we're talking physical connection, they become one flesh. So is it when the spirit of man is joined to the Holy Ghost of God, they become one spirit. Hence the new birth. You are one with Jesus Christ. You're now walking in the light. You now have a testimony. Say, why? Because I got saved. You say, how'd you get saved? Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and somebody say, how'd you learn? I heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Man, his ears just aren't big enough. Let's don't use red. Let's use blue ears. Say, what's going on? He's got some ears. He heard the word. He acted on what he heard. And when he acted on what he heard, she acted on what she heard. She trusted Christ. How? Simply confessed him. You're right, God. That book's right. I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. It ain't whether you're black, white, yellow, red, purple. I don't care what color you are. Brother, you have a trichotomy. You've got a body, a soul, and a spirit, and ye must be born again. If you can't testify to that this morning and you don't recognize that this morning, can I say this as humbly and kindly as I can? You're lost and headed for hell and need to be saved. Say, what's church about? Getting people saved. Amen. Getting people saved. Tell them about what happens when you get saved. I got a couple minutes. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Not those living under the illusion of their own righteousness, as Jesus taught. It is the sick who need a physician. Take your Bible quickly and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Watch what he said. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of physician. Say, what's that mean? Those self-righteous Pharisees that couldn't admit they were born in this world a sinner and they were lost and needed to be saved, kept saying they're okay, kept saying everything's okay. That's just what you're saying. But watch what Jesus said. He says here, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. If you can't hear what I'm saying today, you're self-righteous, you're lost, and you'll probably die that way and go to hell with the rest of the Pharisees. But if you can hear, because you're a human being and you're a common person and the common people heard him gladly, then you'll hear what he has to say. He came to save you if you'll have him. Because that Bible says, whosoever will. My theme for the lesson this morning is, do you have a testimony? Oh, Brother Phil, so it's not about telling how bad I was? No. It's about you getting saved. It's about you putting your hand up and saying, preacher, on the authority of this book, and because of what that word says, I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's saying in verse 15. Say, why does he call himself the chiefest of sinners? That's because he lived long enough lost to get into a whole lot of trouble. That's why. He got real religious. He got real educated. So could we say religion doesn't save you? Education sure don't save you.
Yeah, right.
Shay, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can save you if you'll believe it. If you'll believe it. Now, so he came to seek and to save that which was lost, not those that aren't lost. Since Jesus came to the world to save sinners, this is the first necessary qualification of being a child of God, being a sinner. You say, well, I've never really viewed myself as a sinner. Boy, he's got you blinded.
Yeah.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you been sowing? Born into this thing lost. If you got any age on you at all, you've probably got your stories you could tell that wouldn't be flattering to a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. Are you a saved sinner? Say, when'd you get saved? 12 years old. My mother led me to the Lord at the kitchen table. How'd you hear? Some old gray-haired preacher preaching on hell, and man, it put the fear of God in me. Amen. Amen. So we also see the great danger in taking the term sin and sinner out of our vocabulary. Don't take the term sin and sinner out of your vocabulary. Say why? It plays a major role in somebody getting saved. When somebody hears that you used to be a sinner and they say, you of all people used to be a sinner. Brother, I'm just a saved sinner now. And I sure don't want to sin. And I'm trying to live above some sin. Say, how you do that? With the Holy Ghost of God, which wars against the flesh, and this old body will fight the spirit. The body fights the spirit, but the spirit fights the flesh. And guess what? The spirit wants to win out. So, my question today to the Sunday school class, do you have a testimony? Well, not quite as graphic as that. It don't have to be. Once I was blind, now I see. How about that one? Once I was lost, now I'm saved. Now I'm found. How about that one? And people will be able to tell by the smile on your face and by the spring in your step that you know Jesus. Amen. And I should say the testimony on your lips. Okay, let me quit here. I am not convinced that clock is right, guys. I keep looking at it. My watch says 15 till. I'm supposed to be completely done at 15 till. That says I have 5 whole minutes. Now, I could go on with this because I love it and expound the next verse and draw more pictures. But it's time to quit. My theme and subject for the Sunday School Hour in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 is, do you have a testimony of your salvation? Now don't come up to me and say, oh, Brother Phil, I saw a light. You missed it. Oh, Brother Phil, I was christened into the church when I was, I didn't even know how old I. You're lost.
Right.
I've always been good. I know you haven't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an American, so am I, but I had to be born again.
Amen.
So my topic for the message was, do you have a testimony? Now, don't make up some story, because the Spirit of God has to bear witness to the, and he only bears witness to the truth. Just tell the truth. If you're not saved, it's no big deal. I like what the pastor says. Don't you think you ought to take care of this? Let's get this thing taken care of. I like that. Why put it off? Let's do business. And you'll get an opportunity before the day is over, or I'm not Brother Phil, because pastor's going to, no, Brother Fleek will preach. Pastor will give the invitation, and there will be opportunity after opportunity to get saved before you leave this place today.
It's easy.
Amen. A couple of people getting baptized this morning, say, what happened to them? They got saved.
Hey.
Amen. They got saved. Can't get baptized till you get saved. Amen. Born again. Spirit of God wants to move in. He wants to take up residency today. Would you have Jesus? Would you have him. Would you walk in the light as he is in the light so we can have fellowship one with another? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your book. And thank you for the unsearchable riches of the scripture. Help us, Lord, to grasp all that book has to say. Help us, Lord, to be a good testimony to those that walk about us. If there's one lost, somebody not saved, oh, Lord, would you let them get saved today? It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning. God bless you. Do a little fellowshipping. Get to know one another.